Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations. The first stanza of the hymn Within the Father's House, telling the story from Luke chapter 2 of the boy Jesus in the temple. He's in the temple doing his father's business. The only problem is his parents don't know he's there. They've left to go home. And after they find that he's missing, or at least they've lost him, they search diligently for 3 days until they find him right where he said they ought to have expected to find him. How did you not know that I would be in my father's house? And at the very end of that account, it says that he went with them, he was obedient to them, then he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and men. What does that mean? We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to talk about the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. He's host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
The gospel writers probably had access to all kinds of stories from Jesus' childhood. At least Luke did, who apparently spent a lot of time talking to Mary about these things. Why is this the only boyhood account of Jesus' life?
At the end of the Gospel of John, he says that there were many other things that Jesus did. It would probably fill all the books in the world. But the things that John said were necessary that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So there were a huge number of events that one could have put in concerning the life of Jesus, even as a little boy. But it's interesting to note that the first miracle he did was the wedding at Cana, where he changed water into wine. Until then, there were no miracles. There are some gospels. There are false gospels. I read one of them, which talked about when Jesus was a little boy, he saw a bird who was dead on the beach, and he raised it from the dead. Well, we know that's not true, because the primary first miracle was the changing of water into wine. So there really wasn't that much that was going on from the time of Jesus being in the temple as a little boy, and that's with Simeon and Anna, until this occasion. But something here occurred that Luke felt was necessary to put in the scriptures, because when they found Jesus, he was sitting among them, it says, listening to them and asking them questions. You know, a lot of times we get the idea that Jesus was only answering questions they had. And that was a practice at that time, that the religious leaders during the Passover would ask people questions. But when they heard Jesus' questions and probably the answers to what they were asking, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So the understanding would refer to the questions. This kind of shows what Luke says in the verse just before this, and kind of ends with the same notion. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So what we have here is Jesus astonishing the teachers of the law, even with his questions. For example, he might have asked this question, Sadducees, talking to them, you say there's no resurrection of the dead. And I know you only hold the first five books of Moses to be the scriptures. But in those five books, Jesus says he is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And then he also says he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, those individuals, they have died. But if he is a God of the living, they must still be alive. How would you explain that? And that may be just one question that came to the top of my mind, but there's one thing I've often wanted to do is do a paper on Jesus asking questions, because it was a wonderful way of his witnessing. When he would ask the question, he would listen to the answer, and then a lot of times kind of correct it, like, who do men say that I am? And then when Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, you didn't think of that yourself, Peter. That came from God the Father. And then he announced he was going to Jerusalem to die, which Peter, of course, disagreed with. So this 12-year-old Jesus, and some people will suggest, well, 12-year-old, that reminds us of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. It also, you take 3, which is the Trinity, multiply it by 4, which involves the earth, the four corners of the earth, and you have God now among us here on earth. So there are those kinds of things that could be said, but I think the primary reason why this story is in here is to show that his wisdom was such that even the teachers of the law were amazed at the knowledge and wisdom he had. Knowledge is just knowing the information. Wisdom includes applying it, and the way Jesus would apply it in questions might have left some of the doctors of the law thinking about, now, how could we answer that?
So, Tom, it is pointed out in the Growing in Christ curriculum material that these are the first words that we hear Jesus speak.
Yes. Just like at the wedding at Cana, and I hadn't realized that till I read it, those were the last words that Mary spoke in the Bible when she asked Jesus to take care of the problem of a lack of wine. But these are the very first words he spoke. And that is because even when he was born, we mentioned this, as soon as he was born, you would think, well, what was his first sounds? Did he cry? What was he like as he was growing up? What were his first words? None of that's in the Bible. As soon as he is born, the Gospel of Luke immediately travels to the area, the fields where the shepherds are keeping watch over their flock by night. Because what Luke has in mind that is more important than the character and behavior of the boy Jesus is the purpose for which he came into the world. And the angels, of course, sing that to the shepherds, who then go and worship the Christ child.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, The Boy Jesus in the Temple, in Luke chapter 2. When we come back, some have wondered how it is that Jesus isn't being disobedient to his parents by not going with them when they returned home.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christ Community International. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus, hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago, discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Mount Vernon, Washington. Lamb of God Lutheran, Papillion, Nebraska. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri, and Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Stanza 2 of the hymn Within the Father's House. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. The boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Baker, how is it that we understand this text without misunderstanding? Some have wondered that the boy Jesus here is being disobedient to his parents when he stays behind while they go home.
In those days, and this is the 12th year they would have gone there, the book of Deuteronomy makes it very clear that the Passover is to be observed by the believers who are looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But they are not to do the Passover at any of the towns over which they had victory. God makes it really clear in Deuteronomy that the Passover will be done at the place He chooses, which, of course, was Jerusalem. So it's kind of like when we go sometimes to a football game and you have people having hot dogs and all kinds of food in the back of their station wagons on the parking lot. This is kind of what the people did when they went to Jerusalem for the Passover. There was a large number of relatives and friends, and it was not at all improbable that Jesus would be not seen among them for a while because the group was so large. They would be eating, they would be having a picnic, they would be singing hymns. So I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus is disobedient to his parents who said, make sure you follow us or be with us or whatever. They just assumed that when the Passover was over, the whole group was leaving, and Jesus was 12 years old. For 11 years, he had been with them all the time. And so I don't see this as an act of disobedience to the parents at all, particularly when they find Jesus in the temple after looking for him for 3 days. Now, this really helps us to understand when Mary pondered the gift of embalming fluid which the wise men brought and pondered the words of Simeon that her heart was going to be crushed, we can only imagine that she wasn't fully aware yet of the necessity of her son to die at the crucifixion, because she was one of the sad ones at the crucifixion, and I'm sure her heart was breaking. So she also was in a learning process of who her son truly was. And when they did finally found him, and all the teachers had been amazed at his teaching, "Son, why have you treated us so?" That's what his mother says. "Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to her, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, obviously, we're talking about God the Father here. This is really kind of important. Last week, we had a gospel reading of Jesus changing water into wine. And in that case, Jesus referred to Mary as woman. Now, some people think, well, that wasn't very good. That was his mother. But no, at the beginning of his ministry, he now was taking off his responsibility of obedience to his earthly parents as he was now going to be obedient to his heavenly Father. In fact, he uses the same word woman when on the cross he gives John to Mary and says to her, "Woman, behold your son." So this is not a put-down of her. It's just Jesus' way of making clear who his true father is and to whom now that his ministry is beginning, he owes allegiance. So who would ever say that Jesus was disobedient to his own parents when he was obedient to his heavenly Father? In fact, if that ever occurs, it normally means that the parents had a wrong notion about what the son should be doing. And so therefore, in obedience to his heavenly Father, we can't possibly say that he was therefore disobedient to his earthly parents.
So the other thing that I noticed here is this father's house or father's business. What should we make of Jesus' statement, "Did you not know I should be in my father's house or business?"
Yes. In Amos, it talks about that the house of David, which had crumbled almost into destruction, and that was a necessity of the Babylonian captivity of Israel, that it was going to be renewed. And therefore, the Father's house now is none other than the temple of God in Jerusalem. And Jesus now is going to be, that's why he was incarnated, to expand that Father's house to include not only all believing Israelites, but even the Gentiles. That was a great mystery that Paul talks about that is now more clear to us who are the apostles than it was even to those who were prophets. I mean, that's why Jesus, in some of his parables, would often make the Samaritan the good guy, which people just could not understand at all, because the Samaritan was kind of part of the Gentiles, and a wrong intermarriage, and therefore they should not be included in the people of God. But Jesus does include them in the people of God. In fact, he includes everyone who repents of their sins and trusts in the coming of the Messiah. Jesus rarely converted anybody from unbelief to faith, but he did have many people come from a belief in the Messiah to faith that he was the fulfillment of that Messiah. And therefore, they would have gone to heaven had he not come to earth at that time. But because they saw his miracles, heard his message, they came to believe that the prophecies of the Old Testament in regard to the Messiah were definitely fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the temple was the house of God, which has now become, according to Romans 9 to 11, the new Israel, the holy Christian church on earth.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 22. Tom is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can learn more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, it's been wondered, how in the world do Mary and Joseph raise a sinless child? I don't know what that's like because I have not done it. I was not one myself. Does Scripture answer that question? Stay tuned. What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Interested in missions and evangelism? You won't want to miss the January issue of The Lutheran Witness. Learn how the Apostles' Creed informs personal evangelism. Get to know Theodore Nather, the first overseas LCMS missionary. Hear about how one church planter is sharing the gospel in an unreached corner of Albuquerque and discover anew what it truly means to be Lutheran and unashamed. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The hymn Within the Father's House, the third stanza. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Tom, I'm sure people wonder, it talks about Jesus going back and submitting to his parents. Of course, he was always submitting to his parents. How in the world you raise a sinless child? But Scripture doesn't answer that question, does it?
No, he obeyed the divine law. And the way I see Jesus no longer being submissive to his parents is often found when a man marries a woman. The husband is to leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. After I was married, I don't recall ever my parents telling me something I must do as their child. They would give me advice and things like that. But there's a new situation, and this began to occur one time when Jesus was a youngster, when he needed to be at his father's house in asking questions and answering questions. And then it finally came to a head at the wedding of Cana, where he does not refer to Mary as his mother, but as woman. And still takes care of her as his mother at the cross when, woman, this is your son, John, this is your mother. And that's significant to show that a lot of times children may not obey the parents if there is something bigger to do. I had a field worker whose parents had a burial for him. He was Jewish. But he had decided to become a Christian and go to the seminary. He disobeyed his parents in coming to the seminary, but he obeyed the will of God. So that's something that children need to understand, that nothing is more important than obeying the will of God. Now, in my life, I can't ever think of a time when I was a youngster where my parents gave me orders or commands that were contrary to the Word of God. So I never got into that situation. I mean, I can't remember one time where I got up Sunday morning and it said, I want to go to church. And they said, well, we're not driving you. We don't want you to go. And then I went. No, never happened in my life. It was just automatic. Sunday mornings, we're on our way to Sunday school and church. So I don't see any disobedience on the part of Jesus here at all toward Mary and Joseph.
It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How should we understand that statement about Jesus growing in wisdom and favor with God?
That's almost the same a few verses before, prior to his 12-year-old entry into the temple, verse 40 of Luke 2. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And that almost says the same thing. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, when you look up that word favor, remember where it came just not too long before that? Mary was found to be in God's favor. And the big point that we were making in regard to that was she wasn't favored by God because she was a sinless human being. No, all of us are sinners. She was favored by having the very Son of God in her womb as he became incarnate. The Sunday school children are also favored by God. How? In having the Holy Spirit now within them due to their wonderful Pentecost baptism. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus increased in favor with God and man. Now, it could be that he learned about his crucifixion from Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet, that he was going to be whipped, Isaiah 53, or it could be, as like Paul, Jesus received special revelation from God the Father as he was growing up. Because, yes, as God, he was all-knowing, but he still learned as a human being. It's a great mystery for us when we think about that, but there were times when even Jesus was surprised. For example, when he went to Nazareth and the few miracles he was able to do there due to their unbelief. So when we consider Jesus as God, yes, he knew all things. But as a human being, it's very clear from state of humiliation, which means being humbled, Philippians chapter 2, he did not make use of his divine prerogatives. And in this case, he was learning. And maybe he even learned things from the spiritual leaders in the temple. And that's why we increasingly urge our Sunday school children to not only to continue to come to Sunday school to hear the preachers in God's temple, but also to be prepared for the nonsense that many of them will be hearing when public schools or public universities begin to contradict the clear word of God. And they will be held steadfast because of their upbringing in the Word of God.
What is the simple law and gospel of this story for this week?
The simple law, here they were listening to this young boy with great wisdom, and they did not recognize Jesus. And how many times has that happened to us? Every time we sin, it is a confession on our part that we don't recognize Jesus' presence in our lives, and we have to correct what he messed up. That's what sin is. The gospel is we have been favored through the waters of baptism, for adults, the sacrament of the altar, and for all of us as we read the word of the gospel, which has hundreds of promises to comfort us, bring us joy, and look forward to that day when he comes again to take us to an eternal heaven.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
Folks, the Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called The Christian Difference. It's a comparison of Christianity with other religions, and here's how it ends. Christianity is about a marvelous and happy exchange wherein Christ takes our poverty, sin, weakness, and foolishness, sorrow, and death, and gives us his riches, righteousness, power, wisdom, and joy. Christian faith is unlike any other religion. Every other religion says, work, pray, do this, do that, but Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the end of the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, The Christian Difference. You can find out more about this great resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Christian Difference. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the claimed discovery of a missing link in human evolution with Brian Thomas. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.